You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Good evening, and I'm going to start right off with I got a big burr under my saddle because I want to talk about how our idiot Congress just passed H.R. 1280, which they called the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act of 2021.
Okay.
This is another, but this one is a very serious anti-law enforcement congressional bill. It's moving right away to the Senate. And it's got several provisions. And so I want to just talk about what those provisions are, each one of them. And then I want to get some discourse from you, but I want to talk about how each one of these provisions negatively impact law enforcement. You know, jointly, all of the provisions very negatively impact law enforcement, and it's dangerous. And it also impacts our communities. And creates more victims, both within the law enforcement community and also within the civilian community. So the first thing, and this is a big deal, is that it eliminates qualified immunity for law enforcement officers.
That's terrible.
And as you know, and maybe our friends and listeners and followers don't know, law enforcement officers are granted by the courts something referred to as qualified immunity. So what is it? Without all the legal mumbo jumbo, it's an insurance policy for our officers when they get into high risk situations, which the United States Supreme Court in a couple of precedent setting cases that I use all the time, you know, when I'm analyzing cases. But the big one is Graham versus Connor, you know, 1986, that basically says that officers are protected when they use objectively reasonable force during situations and circumstances that are rapidly evolving, intense, and uncertain. So, you know, what are these? These are people with guns, people threatening other people, people threatening the officers. They have deadly weapons. I mean, there's a whole host of things that officers protect the public against threats and also have to protect themselves. And if they use their education and their training and experience, and they abide by the laws, the state laws and the federal case laws, the courts grant them qualified immunity. So what happens now, because the Congress has removed the key portions of the language, and this is a theme going now, this anti-law enforcement theme, where they are really handcuffing officers and affecting their safety and the safety of other people. So they went from what we call a mindset, called in Latin, it's called a mens rea, you know, state of mind of willfulness. So you don't get qualified immunity if you know that what you're going to be doing to somebody is wrong, and then you go ahead anyway and do it. So when we talk about the mens rea or the state of the mind, you know it's wrong and you did it. And if you do that, you're a bad officer and you should not be granted qualified immunity. I've got no problems with that. But what they did, and that's an objective standard, by the way, what they did is they changed it to a subjective standard, Linda, and now they're calling it the recklessness standard. So let me ask you a question. Can you define what recklessness is?
Well, everybody's going to define it differently, and that's right. The problem, because you cannot have police officers prosecuted on subjective terms. You just can't do it. And, you know, I mean, all I can think of as you're talking is, they need to apply these same standards to themselves. Then when they make a rule, say, that allows an illegal immigrant to stay in the country and he kills somebody,
and they know it's wrong to do that,
that then they should be able to be prosecuted personally. That's what they're doing to officers.
Yeah.
So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They are destroying law enforcement, and they are destroying their ability to protect us.
No, that's exactly right. And again, for our friends and our listeners, what qualified immunity does is it allows police officers to respond to incidents without pause and make those split seconds decisions that the United States Supreme Court, you know, has ruled upon. And again, rely on their training and rely on the laws. This, Linda, is going to have, and this is one of a few of the components I want to talk about tonight, and you can tell I'm all agitated about this, but what it's going to do is it's going to give a profoundly chilling effect. It's going to have that effect on police officers, and it's going to limit their ability and their willingness to respond to, you know, critical incidents and even routine, you know, calls for service. Because, you know, why would you want to be a police officer if they took your blanket of security, your insurance policy away? You know what I mean by that?
No,
I mean, why would you act? Why would you even get out of your car and do anything? Because you're going to get prosecuted. You're going to get sued.
Right. So why would they do anything? And when they don't do something, then somebody else suffers. And that's the problem. And the other thing that's going to happen, Ron, is that they're going to second guess whether they should act. And that is going to impact their personal safety as well, which also impacts the public personal safety.
No, I mean, exactly right. So, I mean, you know, a hypothetical situation would be, you know, officers get called out to like a domestic violence call. By the way, 25% of all officers killed historically every single year in the United States are killed in DV, domestic violence situations, 25% killed in car stops. So that's 50% of everybody killed, domestic violence or car stops. And so, you know, you go to a domestic violence situation and all of a sudden the husband or the boyfriend, you know, pulls out a gun and starts beating the woman, you know, over the head with a gun, and then starts to point that weapon towards the woman or maybe even point you towards you. An officer, given the way things were before this bill, he would absolutely be justified in shooting that person, okay, and stopping that imminent threat to the woman, imminent threat to the public, imminent threat to himself. Now, this is going to cause that officer to say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. And then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, you know, he's dead or the woman's dead.
Exactly. You know, and if he does shoot, then he's going to be second guessed. And who's going to subjectively second guess him but somebody that was not there, somebody that has no experience in these life and death rapidly evolving situations? Somebody who just would say, as I've heard so many times, well, but couldn't you just like shoot him in the knee? Or couldn't you
shoot the gun out of their hand?
Yeah.
Why don't you just wound them?
Yeah.
You know, why don't you talk to them? You know, why don't you tase them?
Yeah, they'll have 100 different things that the officer could have, would have, should have done in their opinion, their subjective opinion. You cannot subject our officers to those standards. Nobody should be a police officer under those standards.
No, you're exactly right. And so moving right into the next component, which feeds directly into what we're talking about. So I'm glad you took us there. And that is, and this is under section 364 of HR 1280. And that is now they are modifying the language in how officers calculate whether they can use force or not. Okay. And they already did this in California in January. Remember, Linda?
Yes.
You know, back in November, you know, I went to Newport Beach. The Southern California Use of Force Instructors Association flew me out there, and I'm one of the founding members, and they wanted me to give a lecture on how, you know, the new language in the California Penal Code is going to affect officers. And it's the same thing. Now, this is the federal level, and they are changing objectively reasonable force to necessary force. Right?
And again, who determines what's necessary? The person there at the moment that the episode is happening, or somebody who's going to backseat do that 6 months down the road?
No, and exactly. And to kind of piggyback on what you said, Lynn, and I thought you phrased it very well, this new change of the language between objectively reasonable force to necessary force requires the officers only when necessary, okay, to use deadly force. And after every other possible non-force or force option has been exhausted. And in these rapidly evolving situations that are tense and uncertain, we don't have these ladders or escalators of force, you know, the way, you know, going up and down and up and down. Literally, somebody can go from officer presence immediately to deadly force.
Yes.
I mean, without even talking, without using a baton, without using a taser or a beanbag round, you know, anything like that, depending on the circumstances.
And here's the problem, Ron. The problem is that the people in Congress who just passed this law or proposal or whatever it is.
Well, they passed it, but it's going to the Senate. They're going to win that too.
Well, okay. Probably not a single one of them have ever been a police officer. And if they have, they've never been in these kinds of situations, because nobody who voted to do this could have been a police officer.
No, or even they may not even know police officers. But again, what this does is it sets a requirement. It sets a standard that in many circumstances doesn't even exist. Right. And it strives the way it's written to create a level of protection that can't possibly be obtained. It just can't. You know, I've been involved in officer involved shootings before. I've had people shoot me. I've had so many people try to kill me, especially when I was working undercover robbery decoy. You're in the dark. You're by yourself. You know, breath close to somebody. You can smell their bad breath. And in a split second, I have to make a life and death decision. And I can't go through, you know, because I'm working undercover. I can't go through tactical negotiation, right? I didn't carry tasers. We didn't carry batons. We're working undercover. We're trying to stop robberies. We're playing the part of a victim, all right? I mean, you've done decoy stuff before.
And by the time you even would get a taser out in some situations,
you're dead.
You're dead. So, I mean, they have to be able to make these decisions. This is what they're trained to do. This is like, well, and Obama did it, but it's like sending our boys into war and saying, well, you can go to war, but don't shoot anybody.
Oh, in other words, the rules of engagement. Remember the rules? Exactly. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I hope people remember when Obama and Biden were in the White House, how they literally had lawyers, you know, right? They had lawyers designing what the rules of engagement was. And we lost a lot of our men and women.
Exactly.
In uniform under these stupid, you know, rules of engagement.
Well, and they're getting right back to those kind of stupid things right now. But
exactly.
They're doing that with our police officers, which it just makes our entire society nationwide unsafe.
People don't understand what this law is going to do to law enforcement. Again, it is really going to cause officers to be demoralized. They're going to second and third guess when they need to save somebody's life, literally in a split second, in the blink of an eye, and people are going to die and be seriously injured as a result of this. The other thing it does is, who the heck is going to want to be a police officer under those rules of engagement?
Well, and that's, I think, what their point is. But here's the thing, and I'm talking here, besides talking to you, I'm talking to every single person that is listening to us right now, that this is your husband, your boyfriend, your son, your daughter, your wife, your mother, your child. Any of those people will be affected by these kinds of laws, because if an officer is not there to stop a situation from happening, people, like you say, they will die. And it may seem like people listen to these kinds of things that the Congress does and they feel divorced from it. And it's just too far away and it doesn't affect them. It does affect each and every one of us, but you never know when it will. And that's the thing.
You know, we have an imperfect criminal justice system. You know, you and I are always complaining about our imperfect criminal justice system. But when you get around the world, and you and I have been around the world, and we get to see these other criminal justice systems, by, you know, the United States of America by far has the best criminal justice system out there. But it's not without its need to reform, right? We need to, you know, do some criminal justice reform and, you know, many different levels. I don't want to get into that. Well, what I want to say is we've got a pretty good system right now as designed for us by the United States Supreme Court with objective reasonableness, where you stand in the shoes of an officer and you experience what they experience, and you must rule, right? You must rule on that basis. It's not what you would do. It's what another officer given the similar circumstances would do. And that is an objective standard. It's not a subjective standard. I think that if any of our friends and listeners were accused of doing anything criminal, they would want to be judged on an objective standard of proof.
Absolutely.
Right? And what do we mean by that? Specific, articulable circumstances, statements, facts, and forensic evidence, and not just what 12 different people on a jury think necessary force is, right? You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, the truth is, that's not taken into account here, is that 99% of all officers or more are great officers. They do the right thing. They go to work every day. They save lives. They take bad guys off the streets. Even if the courts put them right back on, they go back and do it again. And they do the right things. So you take an officer who was a bad officer in the George Floyd case, and then you do all of these things to destroy the careers of so many other good officers. And not, it's not just the officers, and I can't stress that enough, because if I need a cop, I need one to be there. And so do you, and so does everybody, and they're not going to be there.
No, and so this is a very, very serious situation for people in the United States. You can't listen to this emotional rhetoric of the progressive left Marxists and neo-national socialists. You just can't do that. They want to control the police to an extent that they're going to drive people out of police work and to get people into police work under these new circumstances. Because you got to be crazy to go into law enforcement under these circumstances. You're going to get the lowest of the low qualified people. You will get in the United States a drop in the quality of law enforcement and performance that we have never seen for decades.
Well, and besides that, the purpose of getting rid of law enforcement is so that the bad guys can do bad things. So, I mean, this is not brain surgery here, Ron. This is pretty simple. And I'm very, very sad and disappointed and disheartened that our Congress could not see through that and stand up for law enforcement.
Yeah. And, you know, the media is playing it very, very careful right now. You know, you and I have done this job, Linda. People need to know that nobody hates bad cops more than good cops. And like you said, 99% of all the officers are out there do a phenomenal job under extremely difficult circumstances. Let's grab our first cup of coffee.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Fighting every day against the cancel culture that wants to silence and erase us. 5 years on the air, and we will not be silenced. America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Well, I think I have an equal burr under my saddle, Ron, and it is immigration again. You know, 4 years ago, you and I talked a lot about immigration and about the people pouring over the border and the children and the crime and the sanctuary cities. And, you know, it so calmed down under President Trump. Well, here we are a month into Biden's administration, and, you know, it's back as though we never had a wall. I mean, this is crazy. So Biden has opened up the floodgates, literally, to people coming across our border. And we have something like 17,000 children coming across the border that are expected to be in the next short time, in the next month or two.
Yeah, and you know what? They're projecting towards the end of the year somewhere between 120,000 and 240,000 children, unaccompanied minors.
That's just...
You can't even imagine.
And their families will follow. And that's not even including all of the people that are not children that are coming over the border. So in Texas, where we live, people are flowing over our borders. And there's a town called Del Rio that actually our bucking bulls bucked in a few weeks back.
Right on the Mexican border.
Well, right now, it's completely flooded with illegal immigrants, and they can't even hold them all there. So the federal government is using all the same places that President Trump used, and everybody complained about how inhumane he was, and yet we don't hear a peep out of anybody.
And I think they're opening up. Okay, now out of the ones that Trump used, I think there's 28 that they're opening, 28. And that's just to start with.
Well, they just opened a big one, but that big one would hold 700 children, which is a drop in the bucket as to what's coming over. The thing that is maddening is then the federal government comes to Texas, to our governor, and says, hey, we can't handle all this flood of people coming in, so can you give us a hand? And our Governor Abbott said, no, I'm not going to help you enable to bring illegal immigrants over the border. So the Biden administration made a proposal for FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, to partner with Texas to test and potentially quarantine migrant adults and children surging across the border. Texas doesn't have the space and the money to do that. That is not Texas's responsibility. That is the responsibility of the federal government.
No, you're 100% correct. And the thing that is really worrying Governor Abbott and also our Attorney General Ken Paxton is that they've already documented 107 of these migrants have tested positive for COVID.
Well, it's 108.
Okay, great.
And they released them.
Yes. And they put them on buses and they sent them all over the place, right? So now you've got these contagious people, running around in the state of Texas. I mean, this whole thing is absolutely ridiculous. They restrict Americans from leaving the country if you have COVID, right? Makes sense, right? But they don't restrict illegal aliens from sneaking across our border. As a matter of fact, they enable them.
They enable them, yes. So Governor Abbott said, we will not aid a program that makes our country a magnet, our country a magnet for illegal immigrants. And we agree with him. But there's kind of been this little tit for tat thing between the governor and Jen Psaki, because.
And by the way, full disclosure, Jen Psaki is the press secretary for President Biden.
Right. So on the Abbott side, they said that the administration had proposed a partnership with Texas for testing, screening, and quarantining, but Abbott was not interested, as it was not their role. It was the role of the federal government. And then Jen Psaki said, well, that's not true. We're actually testing these people. But what she said that really, really was surprising to me, after she said that they're about facts and that the governor was not saying anything factual there, she said that migrants are placed in alternatives to detention. Their COVID-19 testing is done, and that their policy is for the testing to be done at the state and local level and with the help of NGOs and local governments. Then she said that it's concluded before they're even moved to stay with family members or others they may know while their cases are being adjudicated. So basically catch and release.
Right. Let them go. Let them go to wherever their friends and family are. And we can't follow them. We can't track them because they prevented us from doing that.
Now this is the sentence that frosts my socks here. She says, regardless of status, regardless of testing positive for COVID or experiencing COVID symptoms, their policy is for the person to social distance, to wear a mask, and to seek medical attention as needed. Wait a minute. Didn't we just spend a year having to quarantine, especially if you had COVID, or if you had any symptoms of it? Yet their policy is to wear a mask and social distance, and then they release them out into America for everybody else to be exposed.
The hypocrisy of this administration, the lack of transparency, the spin doctoring of this administration is just disgraceful. How the American people continue to put up with this, and this guy has only been in office for what, like 45 days or something? And like you said, Linda, he pretty much within a month and a half has destroyed almost everything it took President Trump and his administration 4 years to accomplish. This is horrific news for the American people.
And destroyed it with a shotgun that indiscriminately took out things that were important to the American people. It was not about doing the right thing for the American people. Every one of those orders that he signed was not about doing the right thing for the American people. It was about undoing President Trump.
No, you know, and there are people on the progressive left, and I'm sorry, I don't get the mindset. You know, I was looking in social media today when this news broke, and I was just kind of reading some of the responses from people. And there was a gal from Texas, and she took on people that were chastising, you know, they were, you know, true Texans, chastising the Biden administration for what they were doing. And she said, oh, this is terrible. Have you no empathy for these people, these illegal aliens? And I had to post back to her. And I said, look, this has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not the American people have empathy for other people that want to come to this country because, you know, their countries suck, you know, basically. Okay, they're unsafe, you know. But I said, it's not our job. It is not the job of the American people and the American government to ensure the welfare of other people. It's not our job. Our job is really to put America first and to take care of the people we have. I'll be damned if I want to give spend money on vaccinations for illegal aliens that have no business being in this country when I know that there are senior citizens at risk of their lives that can't get vaccinated. Okay? I don't want to spend, you know, billions of dollars building schools, and here's hypocrisy for you, building schools for illegal aliens, then we have kids in California and New York and in all these other states that are locked up at home and can't go to school. But these illegal aliens, they're building schools for them.
Well, exactly right. And I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because I pay the bills. We have to pay for our medical care. We have to pay for our medical insurance. They get medical care for free. What world thinks that this is fair? There's nowhere else you can go in the world. If I go to Mexico and we have a home in Mexico, I don't get free medical care.
And you know what? Let's talk about Mexico for a second, because we've done a couple of Talking While Married with Mexican people, Mexican residents, Mexican citizens, Mexican business owners, the average Mexican worker in the street. And contrary to everything that MSNBC and CNN shove down the Americans' throats, the Mexicans don't like this.
No.
Okay? They don't like people from Honduras and Guatemala and San Salvador and all these other third world countries coming up through Mexico, completely destroying the security, taking jobs away from Mexicans, leaving all sorts of trash, hanging out in the border and causing the Mexican government to spend tens of millions of dollars because they're trying to get into the United States. And as a matter of fact, the majority of Mexicans from all walks of life and socioeconomic status that we talked about are in favor of the wall and liked President Trump.
Yes, that's absolutely true. They did like President Trump.
And by the way, I have to tell you that I was amazed because, you know, you listen to the media, the left-wing media, and they lead you to believe that everybody hates the wall and everybody hates President Trump.
Well, and you know, it was the same thing when we talked to people from Europe and people from Canada. Actually, President Trump was very well liked everywhere that we went. But either way, I'm just very frustrated that, you know, Joe Biden comes into office and he signs this proclamation that allows catch and release, that allows people to flow over the border again. And there is no plan in place to take care of anybody. So what happens when you just let these people into the country? And by the way, they are busing people to all over the country.
Right.
There are plenty that are staying in Texas for sure. And if you look at the COVID in Texas by the border, it's far worse than anywhere else. But the fact is that they are busing people. Who are they busing? Are they busing MS-13 members? Are they busing
sexual people, predators? Yeah.
Right,
who are they
people
busing?
Positive with COVID so that your family can be preyed on in any one of those ways, health-wise, drug-wise, gang-wise, you know.
And you know what, Linda, that's not xenophobic at all. We are talking about, as true Americans, as true patriots, we're talking about the safety and security of the United States of America and American citizens. And I will tell you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I will tell you that here's the plan. Let's get these millions of illegal aliens across the border. And then let's give them a pathway. Let's give them amnesty. And let's give them a pathway to citizenship. And then the whole voting thing, right? Which is what they're trying to push right now, where they just willy-nilly give out voting ballots to everybody.
Everybody is automatically registered. That's the next thing that they're going to vote on.
And you will see.
Everybody is automatically registered. And that is, and then you give these people amnesty and make them citizens. And
the United States of America is gone.
It's gone.
And if people don't think that, go up to the People's Republic of San Francisco, and they allow illegal aliens, they allow undocumented aliens to vote in their school district and school board elections to change the course of education. These are people that are not even citizens in the United States of America. They have no voting rights, and they gave them local voting rights. And that's where all of this is going. This is a huge power play by the Democrats. It is going to change the fabric of our republic, and we will end up being no better than Mexico 20 years from now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this is unthinkable and irresponsible what the Democrats are doing, having gained, you know, the House and the Senate, and the presidency at this point, whether I think it's legal or not, that they're taking America down as rapidly as they can. And I just cannot for the life of me understand to what end any American would want to treat America and other Americans in the way that we're being treated by the Democrats.
Well, you know, to use a Jen Psaki term, circling back, you know, to what we just talked about with regards to what they're doing to law enforcement and what I wrote about in my, you know, Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter, you know, Movement and the War on Police book, is that this is a system where they disenfranchise, they distance, they defund, and they dissolve law enforcement. They break down law enforcement because law enforcement is the protector and the enforcer of the rule of law. And so once they break down that rule of law, Linda, which is what they're steadily doing with regards to letting, you know, millions of illegal aliens come across the border to join the millions, the tens of millions that are already here, and then to fix the voting rules where the, you know, first of all, a pathway to citizenship, and then fix the voting so anybody can vote, that is the end of the American Democratic Republic experiment.
Well, and the people that are in office want that to be the case. And I, like I said, for the life of me, I can't understand it. My heart breaks for America right now because in my lifetime, I never thought that I would see the place where we are today.
You know, I am feeling exactly like you are. You know, we only have just a little bit of time before I want to get you another cup of coffee. But just really quickly, what do you think about this, the midterm elections coming up in 2022? Do you think that everything that's happening right now is going to have a profound effect? Do you think that we will retake the House and retake the Senate in 2022?
Well, if all things were fair, yes, absolutely. But when you're talking about putting through this, was it H1 bill?
H1.
That they're talking about.
The voting bill.
Where, really, it takes what they did in the last election and doubles down on it. And then I don't think we will ever have another free and fair election. And then all bets are off at that point, because if they pass that, of course, I think that there will be Supreme Court challenges to it. Absolutely. But if they, and 22 governors so far have come out against it. And even Georgia, Ron, who, you know, we had severe problems in the election with, they have passed an omnibus bill in Georgia to fix their election problems that they had. So what you'd be doing is you would be taking all the states like Texas and you'd say, okay, you don't have to have ID. We require ID here.
Yeah, thank God we live here. And just for our, you know, friends and followers and our listeners, we have voter identification here in Texas and it's pretty strict and I like it.
Oh,
so not
it.
Only do you have to show a photo ID, but also they have already computerized your signature when you filled out your voter registration card, and they compare your signature to the signature that's on your driver's license. And if they need to, they make you write your signature and they put that up against the screen too. And they compare and contrast that before you can even vote. And I love that.
Right. But if H1 passes and they take all of that away and they let everybody be registered to vote, whether they want to be or not, that just lends itself to people stealing ballots and people, you know, again, the whole voting for dead people, voting for people in nursing homes, all those types of things. And no voter ID. Our country will never have a free and fair election again.
No, I agree with you. How about that second cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
I want to talk to you about online shopping for a moment. If you're like me, you're letting your fingers do the walking through the internet pages, right? Some of the things that bother me is that the big players in the online shopping market really don't support the ideals that I do, like law enforcement, the military, and honoring men and women who put their lives on the line. I don't think that a lot of the platforms do that, but there's a new one coming online in March. It's called shoptotheright.com, and it's pretty damn cool idea. It is all about having a shopping network that has all of the greatest deals. You can put your stuff on it if you're a business owner, but you can shop it because you know that, A, you're going to get the best deals, and secondly, you're going to be supporting a platform that supports America. It is going to be changing the way we shop, believing that our country is, in fact, an amazing place to live. So check it out, and I think you're going to want to support it. I know that I am. ShopToTheRight.com.
A company we're very familiar with, Amazon, the online retailer, founded by liberal billionaire Jeff Bezos, has canceled a number of books quietly and either saying nothing to the authors of those books or making some excuse that the book didn't meet this standard or that standard, or as in your case, saying
thank you for bringing that up.
Saying that that we didn't ship fast enough. However, if you look at our ship rate, it's basically 100% on-time shipping, never a complaint.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, a lot of really nice things said about how fast people got the book.
Right.
They still want to see the Black Lives Matter book. It doesn't fit their false narrative.
No. So they've also just recently canceled the Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas. I mean, that is just incredible to me. The
documentary on Clarence Thomas, which is, you know, given, you know, Black History Month. I mean, wouldn't you want to talk about such a success story?
Well, and it's an excellent documentary. It's called Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. What better thing could you portray, no matter what color you are, that we are all created equal, and how he rose, I guess you want to say, despite being Black.
Despite living in a very impoverished rural area, he rose to the top of his profession in law, which is the United States Supreme Court.
And they would say, despite him being Black. I would not say that, because to me, there is no color. There's no color is not a boundary in my mind. Everybody is created equal. And that is what Clarence Thomas is trying to say. It's not because of him being Black. It's not in spite of him being Black. It is just because he made the efforts to do the things in life that got him where he went.
Okay, but that's the point of Clarence Thomas and many other Black professionals, including a number of Black professionals that you and I are friends with. Everybody says the same thing. You are only walled in by your own imagination, your stick-to-itiveness, your tenaciousness, your desire to move forward, to make yourself better. And those people that cancel people in the Black community, like Clarence Thomas, for achieving, and it's the same thing in the Native American community, believe me, I've seen it, and they are threatened by these people, and the people that cancel them are the people that have not moved forward and have done nothing but put up excuses for why they haven't achieved their full potential.
Well, isn't it interesting that Jeff Bezos cancels the book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, and he canceled another book regarding Michael Brown called something about the truth behind Michael Brown or something.
The death of Michael Brown.
Yeah, The Truth About the Death of Michael Brown.
Which I wrote about in my book.
Exactly. So he canceled those books, and he doesn't want anything that goes against or tells the truth about the Black Lives Matter movement, yet he cancels a Supreme Court justice who made something of himself in life, and in addition to that is a Black man who is an incredible example.
I think he's an incredible role model.
Incredible role model for other Black youth. How do you even justify doing that?
But here's the thing. Clarence Thomas speaks out.
And he's right? conservative.
And then Dr. That was Health and Human Services under the Trump administration, Ben Carson.
Yes.
Ben Carson spoke out. And many of these, the guy that is the CEO of BET, Black Entertainment Network, he speaks out. And so these people, these Black men and women that are so successful, they speak out. And they get canceled because they're conservative. Now, if you were to take another phenomenally successful entrepreneur and actress, Oprah Winfrey, you know, a billionaire, she is a progressive leftist. And so she speaks out in a different way. But they cancel the conservatives and they've let the like the Beyoncés, the Jay-Zs, you know, all of those people who actually are big funders of the Black Lives Matter movement, they let them, you know, they'll play their music, they'll, you know, they'll do everything to facilitate, to empower, to enable them, but they cancel out the Black conservatives. It's hypocrisy at its ultimate.
Well, and then there was another book called When Harry Became Sally, which was a book which had actually been on the Amazon bestseller list that was said to provide thoughtful answers to questions arising from our transgender moment and offered a balanced approach to public policy. That book was canceled. And if you go look for that book on Amazon, you get suggestions with books with the opposite point of view, such as The End of Gender, Debunking the Myths About Sex and Identity in Our Society.
Do you see how manipulative that is?
Absolutely. And that is what everybody needs to know is so very scary. They are, you know this better than me. You're a history buff. Back when they burned all the books back in history.
Okay, well, we're talking when the fascists under Benito Mussolini and the National Socialists under Adolf Hitler came to power, they burned the books. So we're talking about the mid-1920s going all the way up through the 30s and into the 40s of World War II. They burned books. And as a matter of fact, you and I, on this last time that we were in Germany, we were in that plaza and there was that big brass plaque. We were having a drink, do you remember? And we were sitting at a table and I saw that big brass plaque on the side of the wall. And I said, oh, you know what that is? I'm going to go over and take a look at that. And that was a memorial reminding people that the Nazis had grabbed all the books out of the library across the plaza and put them into the center of that square and had burned them.
Well, that's what Amazon is doing effectively.
Oh, you're right.
They are 100%. Deciding what books you can read and what books you can't, at least through them. And, you know, the canceling of the books and the documentaries and the videos and whatever things that they don't think are politically correct, because they're not offensive. Some of these books, as your book, is a forensic fact book. It's not an opinion book. It just tells the facts of the cases.
Yeah, my opinions are not there. It's not a political book at all.
No. So how can that book get banned? They don't want people to know the truth. So herein again, it is, you have the news media manipulating us by what they tell us and what they don't tell us. Now you have Amazon manipulating what we can read, and you have Google and Twitter and the social media sites banning the likes of the President of the United States and many more conservative voices. And they just also banned ICE on Twitter. Now, what that means, Ron, and people need to know what that means. ICE would find out that there was an illegal immigrant predator.
A sexual predator.
Sexual predator, or could be, I guess, something else. I don't know, but mostly sexual predators.
Mostly violent people, gang members, people like that.
That were in your neighborhood, and they would post that and they would let people know. Now, if you have children, wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to know what to look out for? Wouldn't you want a picture of that person so that you can be careful? Wouldn't you want to warn your child? But ICE has been completely taken off of social media to be able to warn the public. So we're defunding the police. We're canceling ICE. We're canceling our former president. We're canceling the voices that are going to speak the truth to us. And now they're manipulating exactly what you can hear and what you can read. They cancel the social media for places like Parler. They are canceling Dr. Seuss. They canceled Mr. Potato Head.
They canceled the Muppets, for God's sakes. The Muppets?
And the reason that they canceled, say,
Sesame Street. Come on.
The Dr. Seuss book is because they didn't like, you know, I wish I could repeat what my mother would have said about this, but I can't probably say it on the radio. They didn't like the images that they drew, that Dr. Seuss drew in the book. So I saw it on Mulberry Street. It was a very cute book. It was about kind of a zoo book, and it was about different animals, and the animals had funny names.
Is that the one where he says, "If I ran the zoo"?
That's a different book.
Okay.
But I saw it on Mulberry Street. It's full of animals, and they had this bird-like creature that kind of would be like an ostrich with crazy feathers and things. But it came from Africa. I think it was Mazurkel or something. I don't know. It was a crazy name. Anyway, but the bird was, you know, on a perch, and it was held by two people of color. And according to these esteemed judgmental people, they say that the people had faces that looked like monkeys. So they were supposed to represent black people. They were in Africa. The Asian people had a little line for their eyes, so kind of slits for eyes, and a bowl of rice. So they thought that was so terrible and discriminatory. I've read those books hundreds of times to our kids. I've read them and read them and read them, and the kids love them. Never did I ever have any thought that anything for any color, for any race, was racist in those books.
You know what, Linda? I think that with these people that really have nothing else to do, nothing going on in their lives, they see racism in everything.
They see fear goggles. It's racism goggles.
But you know what? And I've said this so many times, is that they see everything through the prism of race. Okay. Have you ever met people like that before? I've met a couple of people like that. People of color. And by the way, I've met white people like that. Okay. It is a human trait, and it is a bad trait. Okay. You cannot look at life and every single person you meet and every issue that is publicized through the prism of race. And you know what? Going back thousands of years, you know, a couple of 3,000 years, like with the Romans and the Greeks, they did not. If you go back and you look at the books that they wrote and the old scrolls, the culture then did not look at people in terms of race. They looked at people in terms of socioeconomic status. You were a slave. You were a worker, or you were a political person, or you were royalty, or you were a person of wealth. They looked at it like that, but they didn't look at it in terms of, well, this person is black, or that person's Egyptian, or that person is this, or that person's a German. They didn't look at them like that. They looked at them in terms of whether they were good people or bad people, friends or enemies, and socioeconomic strata. Okay, that's how they looked at them. We have devolved.
Well, I'm sick to death of this canceling, and there's, you know, now they're about to cancel Governor Cuomo, and You know, if you're going to cancel Governor Cuomo, I'm fine with that.
Nah, he's going to survive.
But do it because of what he did to the people in the nursing homes, and not because he flirted with some women. There's nothing that rises to the level of criminality in any of the things that.
Boy, you sure changed horses midstream there. But you know what, with Cuomo. But I'm gonna disagree.
I'm not a fan of Cuomo.
Neither am I.
But here's what I am. Here's what I am, and it is changing horses midstream. Women have responsibilities too. And if women don't like what men do, they can stop it right now. And if they can't stop it, then they need to complain right now. But when you come back 3-4 years later and say something, I'm sorry, I have very little respect for people that do that.
Well, you know, people don't know you the way I know you, all right? And you're probably the strongest woman I've ever met in my life. And you're certainly the most accomplished woman I've ever met in my life. And the way that you look at things, And you're tenacious and you're 1,000% independent. Unfortunately, there are very few women that are like you. But I understand what you're saying, though. I think, as you do, and I can't stand Cuomo. I don't like the fact that he bullies, using his power, he bullies and intimidates women. Right. I don't like that because I see that. I see predation there. However, I absolutely agree with you, Linda, where you say that, hey, look, no job is worth taking a bunch of crap from a guy like Cuomo. You either put up with it or tell him to knock it off or you walk away.
Listen, I have found that if you do not want the attention, you tell them in no uncertain terms. And that is where women sometimes fall down. They don't do that and it continues. And they need to be held accountable, not for predation, but for not speaking out and not stopping it. Because, you know, this is not a one-sided thing. And like I said, if it becomes a one-sided thing where somebody does not stop, then you have to do something and say something, and then that's when you complain. But not 3 years later. That bothers me. And it's not about Cuomo. It's about anybody. It's what they did to Justice Kavanaugh. It's what people do now. Years later, the Hollywood producers, and those people were predators. The producers were predators, but you should have said something then. I just don't think that that's right. But anyway, that gets away from the canceling. I'm sick of the canceling. I think it's wrong. I think that we as Americans are being manipulated, and that really bothers me.
Well, you said your piece. Hey, listen, I just want to say really quick, we'd love to have engagement with our friends and our followers and listeners. And Linda and I have a special email address. And Linda, can you give out that email address right now?
Dr. Ron and Linda at talkingwhilemarried.com.
Spell it out.
DrRonAndLinda at talkingwhilemarried.com.
And listen, if you want a free copy of my Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, and that includes shipping and handling the whole shebang, then give us an email, send it to Dr. Ron and Linda, talkingwhilemarried.com, and here's your secret word for the day. Remember when you were a kid and they used to say that? Here's your code word for the day, immigration. So send that email, send the code word immigration, and Dr. Ron will personalize a book and autograph it and mail it right out to you.